Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you all for your patience and sticking with me on this topic. I know it's repetitious, but this is my first full exhaustive exposition on eternal security. And I know in my heart, this way I'll know in my heart that we're all on the same page and you'll all be experts on eternal security now. And I hope that there's at least something you can say, you know, I'd never thought to explain it to someone that way. And so I hope it sticks with you. Eternal security is essential in witnessing, because the first thing someone needs to know is, what about tomorrow? You know, like, you can give them John 3:16 and they say, okay, I'm sitting here right now. I believe it. I'm saved. But, you know, it's important for them to know they didn't lose it next week when they go out and sin, because they know, you know, they know they're gonna. And in fact, they need to know they're eternally secure, because they're gonna say, well, that's good for today. Or maybe they're just telling you, okay, I believe it. What you're saying is fine. But they know they're gonna go out and sin next week, and so they're not very secure and sure that they're secure. Even though they're agreeing with you, and they might just be agreeing with you just to get rid of you. But so throw an eternal security in there too, I think is fantastic. Of course, it's right there in John 3:16, you know, and in many other places, but emphasizing it, knowing how to tell somebody that they're eternally secure, I think is pretty important. So you got to comfort them on that issue immediately. Okay, so here we go. We're going to touch again one last time on Galatians 5. We've been over this once. I cruised past it pretty quick. But I wanted to make another point about this passage. So turn to Galatians 5:2, if you will. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, the reason they would be circumcised is that they thought they had to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. So there were people who taught that you had to keep the law of Moses and to be circumcised in order to be saved. You know, which is kind of foolish to me, because what do you do with the women then? So Paul says, if a man is being circumcised in order to be saved, because that's something you got to do, then he says, Christ profits you zero. In other words, you can't say, well, I'm trusting the Lord and my good works, you know, by going to church, by keeping the Ten Commandments, my living right. You see, Christ plus me living right is how a man gets saved. If this is how you feel, then you don't understand the gospel. And Paul says, Christ profits you nothing. Remember this, God cannot nor will he ever save a man who or woman who is trying to save themselves by their good deeds. Verse 3, he says, for I testify again to every man, every person that is being circumcised, or you're doing it for the purpose of saving yourself, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, if all you think is, well, all I got to do is don't tell any more lies, it's not just you telling any more lies, you cannot commit one single sin. That's what Paul is saying. Keep all the law. Well, if you were to start today and never do another sin for the rest of your life, well, what are you going to do with the ones you've already done? You've already sinned. And the reason you sin is because you are a sinner. You say, well, if I don't do any bad things, then that means I'm not bad. No, no, no. You don't get it. You do bad things because you are bad. You are a sinner, and that is your nature. What you may not do outwardly, you still have sins inwardly. Ask me, I know I'm an expert in this. Just ask my wife. Yeah, I have a PhD in sin, and every time I sin, I think, Lord, if it were not for you.
Yep. Amen.
And the biggest sin is pride. It, you know, it's saying, I'm good enough to go to heaven by my good deeds. And that's pride. That is a sin. To think that you don't need a Savior, which God says you do, means you don't see yourself the way God sees you, which means you are deceived. And some people can't see that. And my earthly father is one of them. One of the most pride-filled, puffed-up persons you'll meet. I love him, but his pride rejects the truth of the gospel. And there's many people like him. So now verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. In other words, you're trying to keep, trying to save yourself. You've come up with what makes reasonable sense to you in your mind as to how you think God would be fair on this subject. You sold it to yourself, and you've implemented it, and this is what I'm going to do. This is what makes sense to me. This sounds fair. It sounds like God, you know. I can't be too far off. And if I am, surely God would be merciful to me if I'm fairly close. You know, so you're seeking to be justified, to be made righteous by your works, by trying to keep the law. So he says, you are fallen from grace, or you have rejected salvation by grace, is the note you might want to write in your Bible alongside that verse. I think that's a good note to have that there next to that. You've rejected salvation by grace. That's the idea. So, you've rejected salvation by grace because you want to be saved by your works. And God says you can't be saved that way. Christ has become of no effect. He can't save anybody. It's impossible for God to save anybody who's trying to save themselves. And the way you know that people are trying to save themselves by their good works is take away their good works and see if they still think they're going. Where are you going when you die? Well, I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Well, because I'm doing the best I can. You know, I've been told that. And we, okay, so what if I take away the best you can? Nope. See, they're trusting in their works. You know, and they just said, I'm too, like, I'm doing this, right? It's not about you. It's about him and what he did for you. But, people will always try to point the finger back at themselves, which brings you to, it's not by works. And that's, you know, so we're going to cover that too. But Christ alone is the only reason any person gets to heaven. So think of all the churches across the world where people are meeting together and they think they're going to heaven because look how good I am. I'm feeling good because I'm living right. Look at what I'm doing. And it has nothing to do with your salvation. Good works are in the Bible and encouraged, but not for salvation. God will not save one person because of how he lives. And no man goes to heaven because he goes to church and he gives money and he prays and he does all those good deeds. God has never saved any man because of what he's done or what he promises to do. Okay, so now just right past Galatians over to Ephesians. Let's turn to your right a few pages to Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. And these are the very next two verses that I memorized after memorizing John 3:16. And that, I mean, that's, you can head off and go start witnessing, and that's all you need in your toolbox. And they tell you so much in just these couple of verses. So verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved. Grace is unmerited. It means you don't deserve to be saved by your good works. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. That is, your good works are not good enough. Isaiah says all our works are as filthy rags, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. But he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And what does it mean to be saved? It means saved from hell. You're saved from it. If you're saved from it, you can't go there. Being saved means you're saved from hell. You can't go there. It's impossible. The Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's the good news is that the good news is that God will save you today forever and he'll never cast you out and he'll never lose you. I don't know how I reversed that, but yeah. But if you have someone tell you they're saved today, but they aren't sure about tomorrow or we'll have to wait and see what tomorrow holds, then you're dealing with the person who doesn't understand the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that I'm saved today forever, and I'm never going to get cast out, and he's never going to lose me. So a man's not saved by his works. You say, well, how do you know? Well, look at it. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it's the gift of God and it's not of works, and that no man can boast, I can't stand here today and say I'm better than you. I'm a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner, and I ought to go to hell. But I'm just like you and everyone else who's ever been born. I'm a sinner. But I'm saved. Because of what I've done? No. I had my brother-in-law explain to me that there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And if I trust him as my sin-bearer, He said he will save me. I don't have to save me. I can't save me. I don't have to do anything. That's a little ridiculous. I didn't have to promise that I'd start going to church. I didn't have to promise that God that I was going to clean up my life. I didn't have to promise to God that I was going to turn from all my sins. I didn't promise to God that I was going to commit my life to Christ. I didn't ask Jesus to come into my heart. I didn't ask nothing. I received something. I accepted him as my Savior, and he saved me and gave me eternal life, not temporary life. Now, no man can get saved any other way. Noah, Adam, Eve, Ezekiel, Abraham, David, everybody, Paul, they were all saved the same exact way you and I are today, and that's by faith. All saved people have to get saved exactly the same way. So when you're in heaven someday and you see all these other people standing there, you know that they had to get saved the same way you did. There's no difference, you know, so that no one's standing there boasting that they deserved it. You know, Noah took him 120 years to build the ark. You know, if anyone had something to boast, maybe it would be him. You know, he did a whole lot more, but he can't boast. It didn't have anything to do with what he did. There aren't two ways of salvation. It's not by works and Christ, and it's not by works alone. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. There is no other way. There's no other salvation, and the only salvation he has is eternal salvation. It's not temporary salvation, and that's why you'll hear some preachers say, once saved, always saved, which is good. I believe in eternal security, and any person that doesn't understand the gospel. The gospel's good news for a person to hear. It's not good news for me to walk up to a person and say, well, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be good. That's the worst thing in the world to tell a person. Why? Because he can't be. Because there's none good but God. There's only one good, and that's God. And Romans 3:10 says it, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. How do you get any clearer than that? Maybe a couple verses later. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So that's why, you know, like you can, the Catholics believe, you know, Mary was raptured, right? Because she was so good, right? Well, Luke 1:47 says she claims that she needed a Savior. So that's why, you know, and so therefore the whole Bible holds true. You know, he says, for all have sinned. And that's why, you know, he's the master of the economy of words. He didn't need to, like, go into great detail. The word all, a three-letter word, simply says it all, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. And that's why we needed a Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is so in order that I don't go to heaven bragging of how good I am. I'm a sinner. Everyone there will understand how they fell short and how awesome a gift Christ had bestowed upon them. I can tell you how good he is. He loves me. He loves you. And he loves everybody in the world. And he offers salvation the same for everybody. It's free. It's a gift. And it's impartial. He doesn't, he's not a respecter of persons, he says. And I think Acts 10:34 and Romans 2:11. there's nobody, that's above anybody else. Everyone is on the same level playing field, which makes it fair to, you know, how many works could a person in a wheelchair do? Or, you know, a person who he can sit there and he can put his faith in Christ simply by thinking it through, right? And that makes it fair to every single person on earth. So the next question becomes, well, how do you know that you're trusting in your works to keep your salvation? You see, some will say that you're saved by grace, but you keep your salvation by how you live. And if you don't live right, God will take it away from you. He'll cast you out, he'll lose you, and you'll lose your salvation. Now remember this, and Dolly's going to bring this up. I know she's downstairs again, but she says she's going to go through a course soon on what the Pentecostals put her through, and I think maybe she'll stand up here and bring it up to us and talk about it. But remember this, it's impossible for a person to save themselves, and once a person's saved, it's impossible for them to lose it. No man that's ever been saved has been lost again. There's not one instance of this happening in the Bible. Okay, so now let's go back to John. Turn left to John chapter 6. And we've been over this before too, verse 37. Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So remember, the one who saves me is the one who keeps me saved. I was not saved because of what I did. I was saved because of what he did. He saves me, and the only way I could stay saved is if he keeps me saved. I wasn't good enough to get saved, and I'm not good enough to stay saved. I wasn't saved by my works, nor am I kept saved by my works. And if you don't have these verses in your Bible underlined, and so I've got them underlined in mine, of course, and highlighted, and a note down there that says you can't lose your salvation, or you could put eternal security, you know. But he says, "And him that cometh to me, I will." And it's Jesus speaking. Words are in red. Every time I put words in red, they're the words Jesus spoke. He says, "How do you know if you're trusting in your good works to keep yourself saved? Well, if you were to take away all your good deeds, all your good works, and you started substituting all your good works with all these bad works, all these wicked things, whatever they might be, would you still be saved?" They'd say, "No." "Well, why?" "Well, you just can't do all those bad things and go to heaven. God would never let you in." "Well, then you still don't understand it. For by grace are you saved." What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's unmerited. You didn't merit it. So now, when you're thinking that you're going there because you're doing all these good things, you believe you're meriting it. You're deserving of it. That's their logic. That's their reasoning. That's what they believe. You say, "Look, well, I'm going because I'm doing all these good deeds. And somebody else who doesn't do these good deeds doesn't deserve to go, but you do. You deserve it." They don't. Then you don't understand it. You don't understand grace. Heaven is not a reward that God hands out to those who deserve it. Nobody deserves salvation. Nobody deserves eternal life. Saved by grace means you didn't do anything for it. God saved you because you trusted him. He's the one that said that he will not for any reason, that he would ever, never, ever cast you out. He says, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And look at verse 39. He says, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose." How many? Right? None, or your Bible may say none or nothing. "But should raise it up again at the last day." He said, "I will not cast you out. I will not lose you. If he'll never cast me out and he'll never lose me, then where am I going to go when I die? I'm going to heaven whenever I die." And God says that you can know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. So you might want to just write a note in your Bible there to just go right to John, or 1 John 5:13. So when someone says, "Well, you can't know that," you take them there. Yeah, you can know that, because the Bible says you can. The good news: there are many religions that teach that you got to do your best, and God will act favorably upon your soul. And so you got to wait and see. But there's no waiting game. I know I have eternal life. I know where I'm going when I die. And it's not because I'm good, because that's what the Bible teaches. Their religion doesn't teach them that you can know it. But anyway, so that's why this news is worth telling everybody about. There's no tricks to it, no gimmicks, no fine print, no red tape, you know, and it's not lying to somebody. If I told you you had to be good to go to heaven, well, if that's true, then you won't really know if you're saved until you die. If I said you're going to have to be good to get to heaven, then you're going to have to wait until you stand before the Lord to find out if your good was good enough. You know, did your good outweigh the bad? And I'll be the first to admit, I was raised in a religion that had me thinking that it worked like this. When you die, God put the scales out there, and he put your bad works on one side, and then he put your good works on the other side, and whichever outweighed the other determined which way you're going to go. But now you've got to wait until you die to find out which one outweighs what. And so now you can't say that you know where you're going when you die because you aren't dead yet. You got some life to live, and you've got to wait and find out if I'm going to be good enough to make it. Well, what if I do something wrong today or tomorrow or next week, and so I've got to wait and see, you know, to find out if I'm going to make it? Well, that's fine if that's the way salvation is, but that's not the plan of salvation that God made. In fact, that line of thinking goes against everything he teaches us about salvation. The only way that you're going to know that you're going to get there is if he gives it to you now and it's free and you can't do anything to lose it. Look how much fun that is. That fun?
Yeah.
That just makes me happy.
Oh, you techies.
Well, if you can't lose it, then you can know that you got it, right? You can know that you're going to make it. Otherwise, what do you have? If you have to wait until you die to find out if you made it, then what do you have that the lost man or anybody else in the world that's never heard the gospel have? Nothing. You don't have anything to offer anybody, and they know it. That's why you'll never see certain religions get out there and try to witness for Christ. They don't have anything to offer anybody. The only thing they could tell them is, be good. Well, how good? See, nobody wants to hear that. You're pointing fingers at that point. You know, you had better be good. And look at how good I am. You know, does this remind you of the Mormons? It ought to. You know, I used to have them over, and they'd come and sit in the kitchen, and, you know, you'd offer them something to drink. This is the first time they came over. I offered them a Coke or a Pepsi or something or coffee, and they're like, no, we don't put anything.
They accepted from us.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow. See, they told me they don't put anything that can elevate their system, you know, like, because, you know.
Stay focused.
Yeah, there was like so it was a carcinogen or something like that, and they had to stay pure. So it was only water. So, you know, from then on, it was just water. And they got so confused because when they were sitting at the kitchen table one time, and I brought my Bible out, and they got their Bible, and then they got the Book of Mormon, and then they got the Pearl of Great Price, and then they got Doctrines and Covenants. So that's three extra books when all you need is this, the one, and this one isn't touched. You know, theirs is like brand new off the shelf. And so they tried to, you know, point me to verses in the Book of Mormon, and it's like, okay, whatever. And I'm pointing them right back to the King James Bible, and they turned their Bible there, and you could hear the pages are still fresh. You know, and they're, you know, it's like, but they had never heard anything like that, and they left, and they says, would you mind if we came back? So they came back, and they brought their heavy hitters with them the next time. So now I had three of them sitting across from me, and it's just, the truth of God's word cuts through everything. Yep. They can't battle against it. It's like a lion. You don't. You just let it out. It's okay on its own. And so it's just you know. And then they mark you off their list. We don't need to go there anymore. You know, this guy is just, you know. And so, but yeah, they were doing their 2 years on the road, which they got to do to get their celestial underwear, and they're going to be in charge of a planet.
Yeah.
And I mean. They get, yeah, like Mitt Romney. Remember Mitt Romney running for president?
Yeah.
Yeah, they get
special underwear.
They got special. It's like a long one piece underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, yeah, they're just. So, yeah, this Joseph Smith, if they follow him, it's a relatively new religion created in the 1800s. But, anyway. So. Well, if you can't lose it, then you can know that you got it, right? You can know that you're going to make it. Otherwise, what do you have? If you have to wait until you die to find out if you made it, then what do you have that the lost man or anybody else in the world has never heard has? No, I've already been through this one.
That's
yeah, it's I like repeating myself. And that's what all the religions of the world are. They're simply a religious system that somebody made up of rules and regulations that sound like God, and they vary from denomination to denomination in their rules and regulations. And they're all trying to tell you how good you got to be. And all the different churches conflict with everybody else. You know, there's more guilt over here or less guilt over there. Some people aren't even going for that. they're going for the entertainment, the beautiful stained glass windows, or the really good band that has you singing seven songs every Sunday, you know, and this place is gorgeous and it feels so nice, and there's all these outreach things and all this other stuff, and everybody's so friendly. I said, well, you know, we're friendly too. Maybe a little shy, but we're nice. So, but if you just listen to what God said, it's free, totally free. Why aren't they explaining that to them? I guarantee they're not. Ask someone walking out of their church if they know where they're going when they die. You want to see someone turn about three shades of pink and look like they just swallowed a golf ball. You know, you don't have to go to any church to go to heaven. And that's why, you know, like, so they're loading them up with guilt. You got to get here every Sunday. You got to keep doing this, you know, keep that church full, you know. And so, but anyway, you don't have to give one penny to go to heaven. And you don't have to do any good deeds to keep your salvation once you have it, because once you have it, you can't lose it. And it's impossible for a person who has been saved to lose it once they have it. Okay, so back to the Bible. Verse 47. And this is one of my favorite verses too. Like another one. Yeah, at one point I had well over 200 verses committed to memory. And that's when I was just going just nuts out there witnessing it, everybody and everything. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And again, it's Jesus speaking. Are there any conditions to this statement that Jesus makes?
Believe.
This is belief, right? This is him speaking. And he said, did he say it was temporary life? No, it's everlasting life. If it's everlasting, you know, my wife and I took Joe down to MEPS, which is this military processing station in Cleveland. And they have they had little pocket New Testament Bibles.
Yeah.
There's just the New Testament, but they had Psalms and Proverbs thrown in there just for good measure. And it had camo print on it. And I thought, boy, this looks pretty cool. So I got up out of my chair. I went over to the stand and I grabbed one. They're free. And it's one of the things that you're allowed, going into the military, you're allowed to take with you, just a little pocket one. And so I said, Joe, let me get you one. You know, you're allowed to take one of these with you. So can you guess what I did next? I went in there to see what it said. They distributed the ESV, which they claim is a literal and accurate translation of the Bible. This was the Gideons.
Yeah.
They used to distribute the New King James Version, but recently changed for some reason. And so look at what they did to John 6:47. Do you see anything different with that verse?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you supposed to believe?
What do you put your faith in? What do you put your belief in?
And these are Jesus' words. And you took out on me.
Yep.
I mean, my blood was boiling. So these are words spoken by Jesus, and you messed with that. I mean, if you're going to mess with something, I wouldn't do that. So, and these were just, they're not minor words. And I was frustrated. So they also removed begotten from John 3:16 and John, it just went to two places. And immediately found just, so John 3, if you take out begotten, it's a descriptor of Jesus as being the only one of his kind. Jesus is the only one whom God himself created directly without the agency or cooperation of any other creature. He's the only one whom God the Father used in bringing into existence all other creatures. Okay, so getting back on track, the gospel has to have two qualities. It has to be free, or it's not the gospel, and it has to last forever, or it's not the gospel. So anybody who wants to add works to it, that means it's not totally free, so that's not the gospel they're preaching. And if they can lose their salvation, it's not the gospel. You can simply destroy them by checking that against what the gospel says. Because the Bible says the good news is that God will justify a man by faith and declare him righteous because of what he believed Christ did for him. Now remember this, when he died 2,000 years ago on the cross, how many of your sins were in the future? All of them. Why? Because you weren't born yet. You hadn't done the first sin, but if Christ only died once, and he died 2,000 years ago for you, that means he died for you before you were ever born. That means he paid for all your sins before you ever committed them. Not just, you know, the minor ones or, you know, he paid for all of them, right? So wouldn't it also be true then that he paid for the ones you're going to commit today, tomorrow, and next week, and the remainder of the sins you're going to commit until the day you die? You know, it would just be logical from that standpoint. So, and don't you see the freedom in knowing that? You know, and don't you see the love in that too? You know, if not, you should. He loves you that much. So he paid for your sins, but the payment isn't put to your account until you believe that he did it for you. So when you believe it, he puts that payment to your account and marks it paid in full. And this payment isn't like a credit card being paid off where, you know, next month there's more sins on there that then need to get paid for. This was like a once for all payment made completely in full. It's like a no limit sin credit card, but don't abuse it. I'm not saying that, you know, reference Romans 6:1 for that. So the penalty for my sins, eternal separation from God in hell, has been totally paid for. And I never have to worry about it again. And there's no sin in the past, nor in the present, nor sin in the future that could ever condemn me to hell because those sins are all paid. What sin of mine isn't paid? The only way I could lose my salvation is there was a sin that Christ hadn't paid for. But he paid for all my sins. Now either you believe it or you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, that he died for all your sins, and you're going to try and save yourself by your good works, then the payment that he made isn't put to your account. That payment he made is of no effect to you. Christ is of no effect to anybody who is trying to save himself. Think of how many people who are religious today who are thinking that they are saved because they are helping him out, as though, you know, you've got to have Christ, but you better do your part too. No, I don't have to do anything. And I'm still saved, and I'm 100% certain I'm going to heaven when I die. And then you may get a wise guy who comes along and says, well, you mean to tell me that I could live like the devil and still go to heaven? And what's amazing to me is those people who say that you got to be good to get to heaven aren't. And all those people who believe that they've lost their salvation have, because I haven't met anybody who's deserved to go to heaven by their works, and neither have you. You say, well, you never met my grandmother. She's the sweetest person on the planet. Isn't she perfect? Okay, well, has she always been perfect? You know, well, no. Well, that means the Bible holds true then when it says all are sinners. And I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did for me. Now, John, a few chapters to your right, John chapter 10, he says, and I give unto them temporary life, and they shall most likely not perish. Nope, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So when I say I know I have eternal life, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die, it's because I trusted Christ as my Savior, and Him only as my Savior. It's not a communion type, if I do my part, He does His. Because Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had in union with me? No, he says by himself purged our sins. And then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Why did he sit down? Because it's done. And all these preachers that are preaching the other message of, you know, turn or burn, or you're trying to get you to think that you've got to change your ways in order for you to be saved. And that's not the Bible. And they don't understand it because they aren't saved themselves to begin with. They couldn't be. And, you know, so that's not in there. But they're trying to get people to live in fear. And you could do a lot of things with that motivation. You know, you can grow yourself a really big church that way. Yeah, I would love for all of God's people to show up every Sunday morning and study their Bibles and live right and witness as often as they can, but I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that you have to, because you don't. You can, as a child of God, live like the devil and still go to heaven when you die. But do you want to? You know, after you know that you've been loved like that, you can be as rebellious as you want and still go to heaven when you die. And there's nothing that you can do that would ever cause God to kick you out of heaven. For God to say, you can't go because you're not good enough. I do all I can in my everyday life because I am a child of God. I'm not doing it to try to be a child of God. I already am His child. I'm motivated to do so because I wasn't forced to. I was lovingly and politely asked to, but not forced to. I want to serve him because of what he's done for me. I want to serve him because I don't have to serve him. The gospel is the good news of how God will save you and give you eternal life and never cast you out, never lose you, nor forsake you. The choice you make is completely yours as to whether or not you want to serve him after you're saved. And I'd say this, love the Lord with all your heart, and you can live like you please. And that's where you want to live, isn't it? Because if I love him with all my heart, you'll live to please him.